Okay, so we're discussing this week, we're learning this week about standing versus learning when it comes to Limud HaTorah. So the Gemara Megillah, Daf Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph, tells us that Mishemes Rabban Gamliel, after Gamliel had died, Yarad Choli LiOlam, a certain illness, a weakness came to the world. Vayulamedim Torah Miyushif. They were only able to learn while sitting down. They couldn't handle the mental strain. They couldn't handle the ruchnius and the learning, that power, and therefore they had to sit when learning. But before the times of Rabban Gamliel, they would stand up when learning. So what's interesting is the Gemara goes on to say that it's really a exercise of kasuf, because the pasuk one time says Ve'esha Bahar, that Moshe Rabbeinu describes how he sat down at Har Sinai, but yet another pasuk says Va'anochi Amadati Bahar, I stood at the mountain. And so the Gemara reconciles this theory and says that Omed Avil Omed, Yoshev Vishona, that when Moshe Rabbeinu had initially, as Rashi says, Lomed Mipia Gvura, when Moshe Rabbeinu was accepting hearing the learning from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's when he stood. But when he reviewed it on his own, Yoshev Vishona, he chazed it, he did Vishinantam, he did a Mishnah Torah, he repeated it a second time, he sat down while he learned. So the obvious question is, right here in the Gemara, is the Gemara first says that they only sat down learning after Rabban Gamliel died. But before Rabban Gamliel, when Rabban Gamliel was still alive and prior to that, they all stood up. But here we're seeing that Moshe Rabbeinu himself, he was sitting down at Har Sinai when he learned it on a second time. So we see there was an inyan of sitting while learning even before the Misa of Rabban Gamliel. And then the Gemara says another way to reconcile the two ideas, whether you should sit or whether you should stand. Rava says, Rachos Mu'umad V'Kashos Miyushav. If you're learning something racho, something that's very light and soft, so then you could stand when you're learning. But when you're learning something kasha, something very heavy, something very deep, something very challenging, so then you need to sit down to think a little bit. So the question is that also relevant prior to Rabban Gamliel, or is that only relevant after the time, after the Misa of Rabban Gamliel? So there seems, again, within the Gemara itself, some level of a stira, what happened before Rabban Gamliel died. So that's the simple understanding is Kavod HaTorah.
So it shouldn't matter whether you're learning something simple or difficult, because it's all Torah.
Well, it could be, because if it's really Kavod HaTorah, but there's also an aspect of Yedias HaTorah, you also want to be able to understand what you're learning. So if a person's going to stand for the Kavod HaTorah but not understand anything, so that would be almost pointless. But if you also have to be able to understand that I can't understand standing up, so we'll forgo the Kavod HaTorah in order to allow you to sit and learn. There are those two elements in general of, let's call it Kavod HaTorah versus Yediyas HaTorah, knowing. There is a discussion, there's a Rashi, interesting Rashi in Brachos, Daf Vav, Daf Zayin, Amud Beis. The Gemara talks about different schar you receive for different mitzvahs. So, for example, the Gemara says, Agra de Avelasa, I don't remember the exact nusach, Shtikasar. The schar, the Agra one gets for going to a Beis Avel is quiet, silence. People sometimes go to a Beis Havel, they say things, they ask questions, uncomfortable questions, strange questions, and that actually causes a lot of tsar to the Avel. So the Gemara tells us that the schar you get for a Beis Havel is to go there and just be quiet. If they ask you, Reuven, thank you for coming, and they start talking to you, that's a whole other story. But you're supposed to come in silent. There's nothing you could say to really make them happy. So that's. But then the Gemara says, Agra de Shmaitza, the Agra of going to a shir is the fact that you run to the shir. So Rashi says, what about the shir itself? What about like the learning itself? What about? So Rashi says, most people come to a shir, they come and go, they don't remember. They may understand while the rabbi's talking, but to walk away remembering, those people don't remember what's going on here. So that's the idea. So you run to the shir, that's Kavod HaTorah. But the idea of Torah, that's a whole other aspect that we want people to know, but Rashi's being realistic and most people don't remember what the shir was about when they left. So I think you're right. It's really about standing is Kavod HaTorah, but a Kavod HaTorah cannot override the Yedias HaTorah, the knowing of the Torah. So there is a number of Rishonim ask the question of from the Gemara Bava Metzia, where Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Shub and Karcha were both sitting down on a certain bench, and their students Rebbe and Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Shimon were sitting down on the floor. And there are two questions he had on this particular Gemara. One is that the Gemara Megillah, which I didn't quote, but the Gemara does say that the Rebbe and Talmud have to both be on the same level. It's not fair to make the Talmidim sit on the floor and me standing or sitting on a couch, a chair. And number two, the problem was that this is prior to the death of Rabbi Gamliel. The Gemara tells us about Rabbi Gamliel, and then we say earlier in the Gemara Megillah that Rabbi Gamliel said you have to stand when learning. So how could there be Gemara that says Rabbi Gamliel himself would sit down on a bench when teaching? So says the Rashba that you have to explain when the Gemara says Rachos Me'umad and Kashos Me'yushav, when you're learning something soft and light, you could stand. When learning something heavy and deep, you should sit. So the Gemara says that when teaching the Talmidim, sometimes the Rebbe needs to sit down because it's Iyun Batuva. It requires a lot of thought. You know, I remember with Rav Rosenzweig, he would oftentimes sit down when he gave shir. Most of the Rebbeim, why they sit down like this and give shir. But once in a while, he would get up and stand and walk around. Very rare, he'd stand up and walk around. Usually you'd stand up to walk around when you had to think a little bit more, which is kind of the opposite. But what they're saying here is that when you're learning, you're supposed to stand up. But when you're teaching, he says, Kevin debay harav liyune beituva, the Rebbe has to sit down and be me'ayin into it a lot. So if he sits down on the same level as the Talmidim, he doesn't have that. You know, when you want to think about things and be me'ayin and figure out questions, you need some level of, let's call it arrogance, just to be pride and confidence in yourself. So when you're sitting on the same level as the Talmidim, you don't have that sense of strength and confidence in yourself. So you don't have that idea to be mushav. So what the Rashba says, so they would sit on the couch, the Talmidim would sit on the floor, and this way they would feel a certain sense of strength and confidence over the Talmidim, and that would have them a certain yishva das in order to answer the questions. But what the Rashba is saying here is that even in the times of Rabbi Gamliel and beforehand, that they're learning something difficult, they would be able to sit down and learn. This wasn't a rule across the board that Rabbi Gamliel says you would always have to stand up when you'd be learning. And after he died, you'd always have to sit down. It depends. Meaning, after Rabbi Gamliel died, you sit down for everything. Let's call Bekias and Ian, just to make it easy. Bekias is something easy, and Ian is something hard. So before Rabbi Gamliel died, when it came to the world of Bekias, you would stand up. When it came to the world of Ian, you would sit down. After Rabbi Gamliel died, you'd sit down for everything, even for something easy like Bekias. You'd always sit down when learning. That's in essence what the Rashba is saying. So since Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua were teaching something seemingly difficult, they needed to sit down in order to have a certain level of a yeshiva das in order to give over the challenging Torah that they were teaching. That's what the Rashba says. Now, the Tosos says, the Tosos Rush is the same idea. If you look at number 5 now, the Tosos Rush, he says it a little bit more clear, straightforward than the Rashba, just reading the underlines in number 5, the Tosos Rush writes, Ve'afilu bizman Rabbi Gamliel, even during the times of Rabbi Gamliel, I'm reading for the next few words, which is not bold, Shayulom dim u'umar kishulom dim rachos. They would stand up when learning something light, like Bekias, harav, vatamidim mu'umar, but the students would stand up. Kashos, if it was something very hard, so harav would yoshev vatamidim omdim. It was something difficult, so then the Rebbe would sit down, and the Talmidim would stand up. Uchshemachzirin halacha hayu yoshun al gabe karka. So when the Rebbe would be teaching something light, so then he would be standing up. When he'd be teaching something hard, the Rebbe would sit down. And the Talmidim, when they received the Torah, when they heard the shir, they'd stand up. Imagine the very strange thing, you guys all standing up right now, me giving shir. Just sounds something off about that. But that's what he says here, that they would teach, the Talmidim would always listen to the shir standing, but when they'd go back to their mekomos to learn, they'd sit down when they learned. But we see from the Tosfos Rush, there's a difference from the perspective of the Rebbe. If it's something easy, he'd stand up and give shir. If it was something hard, he would then sit down.
It's like in court, when the judge sits, the litigant stands.
Okay, same idea. We have such a concept also in halacha when it comes to edus. Lisa, edus, that also the Baal Din should stand up. That does exist by Beis Din as well. That everyone else, the Baal Din and Edim do stand, and the Dayanim sit down. Which is not too off because the Gemara does compare a din Torah to learning. So that is a very good model to look at. How the halachas of standing and sitting for a bezdin, how comparable is it to what we're talking about, the Rebbe sitting and the Talmidim standing? So it's a good model. So either way, we see that even though at first glance, when you read the Gemara, the Rebbe Gamliel said you have to sit down when you learn after his death, even before his death, there were certain distinctions. Even if it was something, if it was easy, they would stand. If it was hard, the Rebbe would sit to teach it over. He needs to think and process things. A similar way, the Gemara in the Turi Evan number 6, he quotes an interesting Gemara. Let's read this Turi Evan together inside. Anyone know who wrote the Turi Evan? The Turi Evan was written by the Shagas Aryeh. Shagas Aryeh, author of the Shagas Aryeh, Aryeh Leib. He also wrote the Turi Evan as well as the Gvura Sari. So he writes in number 6. If you look, Yumos Moshe v'chulei lo hayulomdim Torah el Umad. In the times of Moshe, they would always stand up when they learn. Kashali, ha'beperkei de'erivin, dafnin dalad. The fifth parak of Meseches Erivin. Tani, the Brisa tells us, ketzad seder mishnah, how exactly was the Torah imparted from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Moshe, to Aaron, Yeshua, and so on. So mishnah, me'moshe lomad mipi ha'gvura. Moshe learned directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. Then nichnas Aaron, shanalo, Moshe. Aaron came in, Moshe taught Aaron, Pirko, he taught him the halacha. Nistalik Aaron v'yashav l'smol. Aaron left and sat down on the left side of Moshe Beno, v'yashav, Moshe, the left of Moshe. Elazar, yashav l'yamin, Moshe v'tamar, then so on. Alma, but we see from all of this, when Moshe was reviewing it to the next group of people who came in, so Aaron and Elazar were sitting down next to him. Alma, we say, ready, but be may Moshe, gufa hayo l'meinim yushav. So we saw before that there were Gemaras that Rebbe Gamliel's time, people sat down and learned. The Turi Evan digs even further in history and brings a proof that even the times of Moshe Beinu, there was a concept of sitting down during learning. But didn't we say in the Gemara that most Rebbe Gamliel, they would sit and learn? But prior to the death of Rebbe Gamliel, they'd always stand. So he says maybe they didn't really sit. When the Gemara says Yashav, it doesn't really mean they sat. It kind of meant maybe they're just standing on the side, you know, not paying attention as much, or just not with that same level of Ema because it was Chazara. But Rashi says they mamish sat down. So how could it say they sat down when they were learning if the Gemara Megillah says that they would always stand when learning prior to the death of Rebbe Gamliel? So the Turi Evan gives that same exact answer. They would Rachos Meumad Kasha Meyushav. So in other words, what? They would sit down when they were learning something hard. So unclear what he means by this exactly, but I don't know how this fits in the answer. Anyone get the answer so much? But what he's saying here is that Rachos Meumod Kashos Meyushav Nicha Dehasam Bekashos Mayri. When it says that Aaron and Elazar sat down next to Moshe, it was referring to when they were learning something hard. It doesn't sound like that from the Gemara. The Gemara says when they initially came in to learn the first time, they'd stand, and then they'd go sit down next to Moshe when Moshe would give it to the next group of people who'd come in. So you know the Turi Evan says, you know why they're sitting down? Because they're sitting down because they were learning something hard. But that would imply that if they're learning something easy, they'd stand up. It should be saying, Amar V'yashav, Amar V'yashav. But the Gemara says they were sitting down, sounds like the whole entire thing. Now if you're going to tell me that everything that Moshe Rabbeinu was being taught, was teaching, was all hard, so then they should have sat down in the first place when they came in, heard it the first time. Why are they only sitting down after hearing it a second time? So I'm not sure. I don't have a good answer. All I'm pointing out from all of this is that we see that even before the death of Rebbe Gamliel, there were points in history where they'd be sitting down and learning.
I think the way that we read that was that the Gemara wasn't referring to every parsha that Moshe taught them. It was only referring to the hard parshas that Moshe taught them.
Right, that's what you have to say.
And that's how we read it.
But it doesn't sound like that because it does say
to every time. But times it would have been
right. That's what he's trying to say. But it doesn't seem like that would really make sense with what the Gemara said, because the Gemara says
the repetition would be easier, you would think, than the first time you're learning it.
And they should stand up then.
That's why you must say that he means that it's just referring to a particular.
No, I understand, right. That's what he's saying. But if they read the Gemara, it doesn't sound like that. The Gemara says they came in and they stood up. And then afterwards, Nistalik Aaron v'yashav. Sounds like after Aaron heard it the first time, he went to sit down. Doesn't sound like he sat down only for the hard parts and the easy parts. There's no kimta, which doesn't sound like it's pashup shad in the Gemara.
Or maybe just the first time that he learned any parsha is hard.
No, but then you should be sitting down the first time. and the second time you should be standing. So it doesn't sound like it works out so well with this, but we'll come back to an answer. Yeah.
So Bashish Yisro says, Madu ati yoshim v'adecha, v'chol ha'mitzav alecha, in bulker at our...
Right.
Judging.
That's in terms of judging, but there is that element of judging is an aspect of Limud HaTorah.
What about reading the Torah? Is that an aspect of Limud HaTorah?
Sure. So that's a discussion which we didn't discuss, but they do connect it to that aspect of how much Kriyas HaTorah is Limud HaTorah, which might be connected to this halacha, or it's a whole other Indian of it. It's more a reenactment of Kabbalah HaTorah, whereby you may have to stand up for Kriyas HaTorah.
So what did they do once they started laning? When they put it in the thing, they get a lane three times a week. I mean, Monday, Thursday, right?
What were they?
Were they standing or
not? So we don't know what they had done there, but it's brought down in the postgame. There's 2 days in postgame whether or not we should stand up or sit down. And it depends on whether Kriyas HaTorah, if it's Limud HaTorah, then you'll be able to sit down, because the Rambam Gamliel says you could sit down for learning. But if you assume that Kriyas HaTorah is considered a Kabbalah HaTorah, so then you should be standing up as they did at Har Sinai. That's the basic understanding of standing versus sitting for Kriyas HaTorah.
Why doesn't Weinberger stand for every single Kriyas HaTorah except for Shabbos in the other morning?
My understanding is, I never asked him, but someone told me, he doesn't want to put pressure on everyone else to feel the need to stand also during Kriyas HaTorah and Shabbos. That's what I heard.
Longer.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
It's more just for other people. He would really stand then too.
That's what I heard, but I didn't ask firsthand. It could be a Pida Rizal. There might be an need to sit down. Then I don't know why he stands up for the other Kriyas HaTorah during the week. I'm not sure. Okay. Either way, we see from all this that before... No. When it comes to, again, just the point is that I'll walk away with right now, during the time of, even before Rabbi Gamliel, even though the Gemara sounds like Mimos Moshe, they'd always stand, it's not true. They wouldn't always stand when learning. When it came to a Davar Rach, something light, they would stand. When it came to a Davar Kasha, so then they would sit down. But if you look at the Rambam, it's very different. Not very different. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Talmud Torah, Perek Dalet Halacha Beis, he goes through this whole discussion. He writes, Keit Malamdim, Harav Yoshe Berosh, so the Rebbe would sit at the head, V'talmidim Mokvin Lefanov, Katara, he'd sit around the Rebbe in a circle, Kadesha Yehu Kulam Roen Harav Shomim Devarav. This way they could all see and hear him. There's a very, very big Indian, by the way, the Gemara talks about in a couple of places, that when a person gives shir, you should be able to see them, see the lips are moving. Women have a very, very hard time about not being able to see when the person's giving the drush or the rabbi's giving the drush at the hard time. You get this complaint all the time. I actually got a call last week from some lady in Florida. And so she davens in a certain shul in North Miami. And she says, I'm working on trying to get a certain mechitza. This way we could see the person giving a shir. And we can't see. They can't find the good mechitza. So Rabbi Shapiro in Florida had once spoken in Eish and says Eish is a great mechitza, where you can't see in the women's section, but the women could see the person speaking. So she asked me if I could find out how to get where this mechitza came from. So I sent out a couple of emails, and they sent me some numbers. I don't know if she ever found it or not, but I sent her the number of someone supposedly who had built this mechitza for us, where it's just the one way. So women have a hard time if they can't see, but there's a beginning to that. Firstly, you just can't focus. If you can't see a person, you're just hearing some voice. Or if you ever get stuck behind that seat, you know, that bima, behind the bima seat, that's awful to get that seat. You can't see anything. You sit down during the drush, I imagine you just pass out. You can't see.
Tisha B'Av.
Tisha B'Av also.
You're stuck up here in the hallway or something.
So it's hard. I mean, we're getting used to it now, getting, you know, people listen to Shema online all the time. But still, it's a big Indian. The Gemara says it helps you remember if you see the Rebbe speaking. You see the lips moving, it helps you process it more. Now, the Shulchan, the Rambam says further now, the lo yashav harav al kisei va tamid va karka, the Rebbe shouldn't sit in a chair and put everyone on the floor. Ela o kol ha al aretz, everyone should be on the ground together. O hakol al kisei, so everyone on the same level. But now this is where the machlokus is. Ubarishona haya harav yoshev va tamidim omdim. But initially, so the Rebbe would sit down and all the tamidim would be standing. Umikodem churban beis hashem by sheni nagu hakol al amid ha tamidim vehem yoshvim. So this is interesting. So we see the Rambam says across the board, the Rebbe would always be sitting down. What we saw earlier, all those points where people would be sitting down, it was because it was considered davar kasha. It was just hard. But that would seem to indicate if it was a davarach, even the Rebbe would be standing up. How come the Rambam says across the board the Rebbe should always be sitting down, even for a davarach, even for something light, even for bekiyas, he says you should be sitting down always? So then the question becomes, how come for the other Rishonim, I think you're right, but how come the other Rishonim hold that only when you're teaching something hard is it you sit down, but if you're teaching something easy, you would stand up, it seems. So I think you're right. I'll give you a model to help bring this together. There's a machlokas between the Rambam and the Ramban about tefillah. What is the mitzvah deraisa of davening? How often do you have to daven mid deraisa? We know mid derabanan, we daven every single day, three times a day. But mid deraisa, what's the mitzvah? Anyone know? What? One, exactly. The Ramban says once a day. The Rambam says once a day. Yeah, forget the nusach right now. Forget what you're saying. Very good. But how frequent? The Rambam says once a day. The Ramban writes Ala Torah based on a pasuk Be'es Tzara. The person's going through a difficult time, whatever, parnasa, illness, whatever Tzara he has, Be'es Tzara, you daven. So that happens whenever, however, a person has an Eis Tzara. Hopefully it shouldn't be too often. So that's Machlokas. Ramam says every single day, and the Ramban says only Be'es Tzara. So anyone know what the Rav Soloveitchik once explained? That this Machlokas is not as wide as you would imagine. He says, said, exactly, that's exactly right, yeah. The Rambam holds like the Ramban as well. Tefillah is only chai b'eis tzara. But you know what? Eis tzara is every single day. Every single day. Eis tzara doesn't mean that a person's dying of some illness. Eis tzara means every single day. We have no idea what's in store for us today.
You're human, you're vulnerable to anything.
Anything. So even though we might be very happy and parnassah is good and shalom bayis is good, everything's really good, there's always eis tzara. We're attached by a string. In 1 second, the whole world could change. So the Rambam holds it's also be'es tzara. But every single day is considered an eis tzara according to the Rambam. So I think according to what Steve was saying as well, according to, everyone agrees that when you're teaching something difficult, you have to sit down. The Tosafos HaRosh thought some things were difficult, some things aren't difficult. But I think as Steve said, the Rambam holds every single day that you're teaching, that's difficult. Being a Rebbe, it's a difficult thing. Even though the material might be easier, there's certain levels of what's hard, what's easy. When you're trying to teach someone, teach Talmidim, that's always considered a davar kasha. And so it's for that reason the Rambam says the Rebbe would always sit down when teaching. That's always considered davar kasha, no matter how easy or hard it might be. Well, according to the other Rishonim, they felt that no, only if the material was actually hard would the Rebbe have the right to sit down. But if the material were easy, then the Rebbe should be standing up. Okay.
Easy for who, though? The Rebbe?
Yeah, for the Rebbe, because he's the one who's teaching it over. The Talmidim should always be, at least Berishona, they would always be standing. They would always be standing if it was something easy. If it was something hard, the material, they would be sitting down. But from the perspective of the Rebbe, it's always considered a davar kasha. It's always a be'es tzara, if you will. It's hard. Hard to teach. Even things, the simplest of teachers, the best of speakers, they're such good speakers and such good teachers because they put a lot of time and effort into it. What makes them so good, it comes off so natural because they've prepared and practiced so many times. But that's a davar kasha. It's rare that you have someone who could just walk in and just, even if you have a Rosh Hashanah who could come in and just on the spot, you ask him a question, he'll give a great shir. Well, even though he didn't prepare that moment for it, he prepared 70, 80 years of his life doing this, so that made it easy for him. But it's always considered a davar kasha from perspective of the teacher. Rav Shecht always says, he always tells his Talmidim, make sure it's entertaining, make sure it's this, make sure it's that. He doesn't say just like go and speak. It's a skill, it's an art to be able to teach. It's a davar kasha. And so it's for that reason, Rambam felt that even from the times of Moshe Benu, the teacher should always be sitting down. Yeah, certainly the whole industry, for sure. Okay.
I guess Pesach Rabbi Pesach on how he does it. He says the same way you do a video. You spend hours
going
through materials,
yep.
And you edit it down.
Yep. Let's go now to number 9, the Chavetz Chaim Sharon. Chavetz Chaim Sharon, Rav Mordechai Karlbach, who's a Rebbe in the Mir, a beautiful sefer. I'm a big fan of his sfarim. He has an Ala Torah. So he explain Shitas Rambam a little bit different than what I'm saying. He says, let's read through together. V'asher nira b'zeh shitas haRambam d'yisod ma de'ein lamdin Torah el muma. The idea that the Rambam holds, you only learn standing up. Ein zu halacha behilchos talmud Torah. Elohi halacha behilchos kabbalas haTorah. There's an Indian of learning and an Indian of receiving. So, if you're receiving Torah from a Rebbe, so then you should stand up. There's not an Indian of learning. Why do you have to stand when you're learning? What's the kavod? I could hear why you want to stand when you're learning. There's a certain kavod you're showing to the learning itself. But he says it's not an Indian of learning. It's an Indian of Kabbalah Satar, receiving the Torah from a Rebbe. I can't remember where I read this, but there was a certain, I think it was one of the Gedolim books, that when he was younger, if he would receive a phone call from a Rebbe, he would stand up from receiving that phone call. Now, even though the Rebbe wasn't there, and he's not, you'd like, imagine like lying on the, you know, lying down here in your bed talking to Moshe Feinstein on the phone. You know, it's something wrong about that. So there's an Indian of Kabbalah, receiving Torah, talking to someone very prestigious on the other end, you stand up, you kind of jump up. So it's not an Indian of learning, it's an Indian of Kabbalah Satorah, receiving the Torah from a Rebbe. So he says, Shekavod HaTorah hi lekabbalas HaTorah me'umad. It's a kavod HaTorah to stand up when you're receiving the Torah, ba'ofen de'lefi zeh, according to this, hein divei Rambam de'chol ikr din zeh nema rak le'talmidim. So that Indian of standing is only with respect to the Talmidim, that they're receiving the Torah, ha'makablin es ha'Torah mipi rabban, that they're receiving it from their Rebbe. Aval l'lamei Torah leka shem din amida, but to teach it, the Rebbe to teach it, there's no Indian of learning or teaching standing up. The whole idea of standing is about receiving Kabbalah HaTorah. So you hear the difference, right? When you learn, so you can learn however you want. But when you're receiving the Torah, you need to stand up. So this would be going back to that Gemara Turi Evin, the Gemara Ervin, about sitting and standing. When Aaron came in first, he stood up because he's being Mekabel the Torah from Moshe Benu, who received it from Mipiagur. But the moment Aaron learned it the first time, now he's teaching Elazar the next round, so he could sit in the back ready, because for him, he wasn't being Mekabel anymore. For him, it was just a review, it was a Chazara, so that's why he was able to sit down after that point. So that's a whole other perspective of this Gemara. It's not an Indian of Limud HaTorah, it's an Indian of Kabbalah HaTorah. And this actually explains all the different Gemaras, that when it comes to, the Gemara said, Omed V'Lomed, remember that Gemara? Yoshe V'Shone. Omed V'Lomed, the first time around, you stand up to learn. But when you go back home to review it, when, as Rashi says, Shanisa Levado Mashalamad, you repeat what you learned, the Chazara, on your own, Levado, you learn by yourself, that you could sit down. You could sit when you learn. It's only when you're being Makabal, the Torah, are you supposed to be standing up. Yes?
Yeah, but wasn't it Gemara Ne'eruvin that says, you know, if you move your body and it's important to get into it, it's a big difference if you're sitting down, if you're standing up, if you're moving. It has a lot to do with, you know, like when I go to do a video in a school and the kids are all like this, it's disrespectful that you got to get them to sit up. So the body position, movement is very important. It doesn't sound...
No, I agree. They're not addressing how to sit, but the postkim do point out that person, when he learns, he shouldn't be like putting his feet up on the couch. There's a certain kavod, even though, according to this approach, the kavod is in the Kabbalah Satorah, even when you're learning, you should be sitting in a certain way.
But also learning, you know, the guys stand up and learn, you stay awake, you can't fall asleep.
You could, you know, certainly, if you're going to fall asleep, you could certainly use different tactics, like standing up and walking around. But overall, it's not saying that you have to sit and learn. You're allowed to. When you're being Mekabel the Torah, you were supposed to stand to receive that Torah. When you learn afterwards, you can sit. It's not advising you to sit or not. Whatever is going to work for a person, as long as it's somehow a respectful way of learning.
As far as that, how does that... In our modeling today, how do we... Does that mean that, I'm just being extreme, that our young boys in yeshiva, when they're learning something for the first time, they should be standing?
You know, no, because nowadays,
what's the practical? Is there a practical implication for us today in terms of that?
Well, no,
that's
right.
Difference between the Kabbalah's whole
one. No, you're right, because this whole discussion really is before the death of Rebbe Gamliel. After the death, which is where we are now, of course, so Rebbe Gamliel, his death, they came to a certain illness, weakness came to the world, so now we all sit when we learn and when we teach.
Before, in Rebbe Gamliel's time, this model was followed in terms of what a Talmud would learn for the first time, they would stand.
Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, that's what it would seem exactly. But nowadays, everyone sits. You have the option of standing if you'd like, but you don't have to sit. We'll see in a moment, it might actually be usher to stand up. I know against what you're saying, there might be a problem even standing up, though, when you learn. And that problem, I'll mention it right now, is because it might be some level of sakana. Because if the Gemara said, now that's a little extreme to me, we'll see inside in just a moment. There's a sefer, Asiva Zakenim, which says it might be dangerous to stand up when you're learning. If it's chole, if a certain illness came to the world, so if you're learning and standing up, it might cause you some mental strain, and that could be dangerous for you. I didn't understand that as being dangerous. I just felt that it's going to prevent you from learning and processing properly. Now that's going to be dangerous.
What about disrespect to the teacher?
Sitting down is certainly considered respectful.
If everyone's sitting down and you're standing around, you know,
right?
Disrespectful to the teacher.
That's a great point. If you're sitting in a classroom and someone stands up walking around, it's I would consider that very disrespectful. I know Rav Weinberg has spoken a couple of times about, you know, people when they daven, like, walking around up and down the rows, and this, he doesn't like that at all. Just sit down a little, you know, sit down and focus a little bit. Some people are not able to do that. But yeah, I don't think in a shir a person should be standing up.
I guess the way it almost sounded from the Zivas Akanim and this Chol Olam thing is that it may not be something that even applies today anymore. That maybe it was particular holy that was maybe just prevalent at that time in Eretz Yisrael after Rabbi Gamliel's death.
Yeah, I didn't see that to be the case. Well, let's go through it. Yeah,
it's certainly not dangerous to us. So maybe he's not referring. You know, maybe he's.
Yeah, but he
says that people just want to.
Let's get to that point. Now, let's get to Asiva Zakenim to understand exactly. I don't know if I agree with you on that, but let's see what he says here. So let's talk about asking questions right now. So the Rambam holds that when a person asks a question, it's brought down Shulchan Aruch as well. Ein Shoalim number 10, Shoalim Meumad, Vein Meshivim Meumad. You don't stand up when asking a question. You sit down when you ask a question, which is an interesting halacha. The very fact that is addressed, that's even spoken, how to ask a question, he says you should sit down when asking a question. But then they point to a Gemara in Bukharis, which is a very fascinating Gemara, which is the whole downfall of Rebbe Gamliel as Nasi, that he made Rebbe Shua stand up on his feet to talk, not for right now, but in this Gemara, it says, Amar HaShoel, I didn't bold it, I made a mistake, I bolded the wrong point. But in that discussion, it says, Amar HaShoel Vishal. They had a whole shir, and I guess it's kind of like, I never went to a big college, but imagine you have a big college, it's a big a lecture hall, and they ask a question. I remember from like movies that they'd stand up to ask a question. Yeah, that makes sense? No, that's true?
Well, it's much easier.
I understand. Yeah, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying what's happened. Yeah, I'm just saying that's what happens. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So,
like the paper chase, how law school used to be.
So you stand up.
Yeah,
fine. You stand up and ask a question. So that's what I would imagine. You stand up to ask a question. People could hear you. People could see you. Fine. So that's what took place. So Tosis says it's not just stam to stand up so people could hear you. This was a real halacha. So there's a real halacha that when a person asks a question, you're supposed to stand up. So the Tosis says you're supposed to stand up when asking a question. And the Rambam Paskins, you're supposed to sit down when asking a question. So there's a question of maybe that Gemara was talking about before Rambam Gamliel, after Rambam Gamliel. Forget that historical point right now. I don't have time for that. But let's just understand the machlokas. Bizman hazeh. Should a person be sitting when asking a question, or should he be standing when asking a question? So Shulchan Aruch number 13 brings two dayas. He says, Bizman hazeh, number 13, Ein Shoalim Meumad Vein Mashivim Meumad. You don't stand when asking a question. You should sit down when asking a question. But then there's a Yesh Omrim, Kishesh Shoalim Davar Lacha Tzarech La'amod. When you ask a question, you should dafka stand up. So what's the machlokas, whether you should stand or whether you should sit? Bizman hazeh. We all agree, Bizman hazeh, learning. We said you should sit down when learning. Rav Gamliel, Mishem Meis, Rav Gamliel, Yared Choli Le'olam, we sit down when we learn. What's the difference between asking questions? What? Okay, so if it is, let's say, if it is Limud HaTorah, so what would you do? You could sit. So then what would it be? If it's not Limud HaTorah, what would it be then?
If you were getting Kabbalah Torah from the teacher because of your question, maybe you should
stand. Right, so that But that, we said, was only before the death of Rebbe Gamliel. So I was thinking that also. When you ask a question, you're like, you were looking for the Kabbalah. But you haven't received it. You just asked the question. He didn't say anything. And that would only, again, be relevant before Rebbe Gamliel.
And do you sit down after you ask the question?
Right.
Hear it, or do you stay standing until...
Yeah. He said that has not been addressed. I'm not sure. So I would have thought, like the Rambam, that you should sit down when asking a question, because that's how we paskin. Whenever you're learning, you should sit down. So what's pshat in the Tosas that said you should dafka stand when asking a question? Any thoughts on that? So before getting to Asiva Zakenim, I thought maybe...
On a simple level, with respect to the teacher, stand when you're addressing somebody important.
It could be simply...
Stand up for the Rebbe.
Right, it could simply just
Rebbe,
be...
An, I'm talking to you.
It could just be simply be an issue of just covered her Rebbe. It could be that. Covered her Rav. It could very well be that.
Right.
Covered for the Rebbe. That's very possible. That could be a simple answer. And according to Tosfos, he says, even though it's covered her Rav, this might be the Nekudas Machlokas. Is the question you ask, is that part of Limud HaTorah? Is that part of learning? Which is an interesting question. When you ask questions, you're not learning anything. But
you're learning, right? You're asking a question presumably on something you don't understand.
Exactly. So is that? So that's, I think, a very interesting question. Is the questioning part of Limud HaTorah?
Yes.
I was wondering. I think it could be a machlokas. Let's
open
just ask. Let's say.
Open is. Yeah.
Can a person ask a question in the bathroom, let's say? Could you ask a question without, you don't know the answer, just ask a question. Can you ask a question in the bathroom? Is that allowed? I'm just talking, I don't know the halacha. I'm just saying, if you assume that asking questions is not called limud haTorah, so in theory you could be in the bathroom and ask a question.
Well, the question is not, that's not the kind of question.
Right. I'm not supposed to talk in the bathroom.
No, that's wild going to the bathroom. Let's say a shower. Shower, okay? Shower is a different story.
That's not the kind of question we're talking about. I mean, the kind of question you might ask in the bathroom is, you know, am I allowed to tie my shoes this way? I don't know. It's just something, you're just general. You know, it's to provoke a halachic response, but
correct.
The question itself is not halacha. Question, I think the kind of questions we're referring to in Shalos here is, you know, how does the Rambam answer how the Rashba, you know, like why the Gemara says this and why Tosfos says that. That's something you clearly couldn't say in the bathroom because there's Torah in the question itself because you're trying to understand.
Okay, but so let's talk about the question, how do you tie your shoes? So if I ask a very simple question without quoting a Tosfos or a Gemara, I just say, how
do you think would be allowed?
So you think it's allowed, that would not be considered.
I don't think that's what the Gemara is talking about. I don't think
we don't know. Right?
The question we're talking
it's
about.
Across the board. I think it's an interesting question whether you're asking a question to provoke an answer, a halakhic answer, is that question itself called Limud HaTorah? I think it's a very interesting... You think it's a Davar Pashut, that's not Limud HaTorah.
I think I even remember a halakha in Mishneh Berurah that if you're in the bathroom or, you know, if you're in the shower or something like that, and, you know, let's say you see somebody's about to...
That's be my freshman in Isser.
Then you could say, oh, you know, don't do that. You don't give a reason, you just, as long as
right.
You give a reason...
But that's a different point.
You just say...
But that point, the Gemara says, is because you're separating the guy from doing an Isser. Better for you to say something in the bathroom to prevent that guy from doing an Isser.
Because you're not giving a reason, you're not over on the Isser at all.
That's a lower level type. But let's say the guy wasn't doing an Isser. Then you couldn't say it, though, unless the guy was doing an Isser. I mean, there is some restriction to what you could say. I can't say Davar Halacha if the guy isn't doing something wrong. Only because the guy is doing something wrong, I have to say the Davar Halacha in the bathroom, but I have to limit what I say. I don't want to elaborate on a whole shiur. I just have to stop the guy from doing it. But the only heter to say a Dvar Halacha is to stop the guy from doing an Isser. But that's saying a Dvar Halacha. I'm saying, I'm asking a question to provoke an answer.
I don't understand how asking a question, getting engaged with the Rebbe, is not Torah. How could it
right.
not be?
So that's machlokes. You two have machlokes about that. That's just fine. I think that proves my point. I think it's a great question that I don't know the answer to. I'm just saying that might be the machlokes. Is asking a question called Limud HaTorah? According to the Rambam, asking a question is called Limud HaTorah, and therefore you sit down when you ask a question, like anything else. According to Tosfos, he says, no, asking a question is like what Binyamin is saying, just asking a question. Assuming, I don't know what type of question they were asking, but let's just assume it was even, how do I tie my shoes? So he says, that's not a question. Yes, my goal is to, it's a heksher, let's call it a heksher mitzvah. It's a heksher Limud HaTorah. It's not learning. It's a question, but it's not learning itself. It's trying to get an answer, but that's not part of Limud HaTorah, so I'm allowed to, and I should, stand up out of Kavod HaTorah, which I think is a fascinating question. I don't know the answer to it. I just thought of it right now as we were going through this discussion. It is already late now, so I'll just finish off with the Asiva Zakenim, which says a whole other perspective of why you should stand or why you should sit down. And that's what he says, which I don't agree so much that this is really what's going on here. Vadi gets into the point of there's some level of sakana involved when standing and learning. When the Gemara says that Mishameis Rabbi Gamliel Yarad Choli Le'olam, a certain illness came into this world, that means there's some sakana involved here. So according to the Rambam, you should never stand up. Even for a small question, you shouldn't stand up because that's dangerous. But according to Tosfos, he says that no, it's not as dangerous anymore. And therefore, since really you should be standing when learning, that's really the ideal. And it's not such a concern, the Choli Olam. So for a 5-second question, you could stand up. You won't really put yourself in danger. But according to the Rambam, who holds that the idea of standing up is not such an important inyan. And there's a real true sakana when it comes to Mishameis Rabbi Gamliel. He felt it's safer to be sitting down. In my opinion, I don't know enough about the Yorid Choli Olam. I thought that Choli meant a more of a mental illness, in that people don't have the ability to understand, to focus as much. Not that a person was physically in danger. It was a mental weakness that came to the world, which made learning shun. Exactly. That's my understanding of what went on here. So there's no sakana here at all. So I don't understand this. I don't appreciate this explanation. I like what we just came up with before, that whether or not a question is considered limud haTorah itself, or simply it's what we'll call a hechsher for limud haTorah.
What was that Gemara Nei Reuven about the need to shuffle and move? Somebody who doesn't is not really learning.